Right, let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to Galatians chapter number 5, book of Galatians chapter number 5. There's a lot of churches going through really hard times right now because of that sickness, so we'll just try to keep those in prayer, keep them in mind. Galatians chapter number 5, we've been going over the Christian's inheritance and the reward and the opportunity to be able to rule and reign with Christ. And as we said in the very beginning of the study, there are two types of inheritance. There's an earned inheritance and a fixed inheritance. And the fixed inheritance is one that you get just by being a child of God. You got it the day you got saved. And that will not change. Nothing you can do will affect that. And so the day you got saved, you're going to be getting a brand new body. I mean, we ought to say amen to that right there. Amen. We go to heaven, we're getting a brand new body. No more sin, no more defilement, no more death and all those things. And so that's a part of being a saved person. And you're going to get that new body. So that's a part of the fixed inheritance. The Bible said that if you're saved, God's prepared a place for you. It said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And so there's going to be a place for us in heaven. And you get that because you're saved. That's a part of the fixed inheritance, all right? But then there's also an opportunity for you down here after salvation to get an earned inheritance. And this is a great opportunity for the child of God to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and things that He's given us to do. And I'm thankful that He didn't just ask us to do these things that we're talking about and then leave us alone. He didn't just do that and walk away. He did that and He said, I'll equip you and I'll help you with it and I'll do it through you. I mean, He just wants us to be willing. He wants us to have faith in Him and trust Him, and He will take care of it. But He's given us an opportunity to live for Him. And so there's several things that we've covered over the last several weeks, an opportunity to be able to earn an inheritance. We looked at the illustration over there in the book of Luke about how the master left some talents with the individuals, and some of them used them for the glory of God, and they used them for the right reason, and when he came back, they doubled what God had given them. There was fruit for their labor. The Bible said that you shall know them by their fruit. Right. And you know, sometimes we'll see Christians, or they say they're Christians. I use that word just like I guess the world uses it. Everybody that saves a Christian, but that's not the case. Everybody that's saved is not a Christian. They're not Christ-like. But people will get saved, and all these years will go by, and then you'll doubt their salvation. I don't even know if they're saved. Why? There's no fruit. Now, their salvation is between them and God. And in Luke, the parable there that was given, that one individual that got his talent and he hid it in the earth and didn't do anything with it, he still had a talent. Yeah. Right? He was still, in the spiritual example I'm giving here, he was still saved. He just did nothing with it. And then he was told that he was unprofitable and wicked. Amen? Unprofitable and wicked for what he had done. And so someone can be saved, but everybody else looking around says, man, I don't know if they're saved. Why? There's no fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. Now, somebody, their salvation is between them and the Lord. Right? I always say there's only one person that really knows that I'm saved, and that's me. Right. Now, my wife, she believes I'm saved most of the time. But, you know, there's only one person that really knows. I believe my wife's saved. But there's only one person that absolutely knows for sure. Because there's people that can put on a front. And they can be a wolf in sheep's clothing. And of course, I believe it. I've been saying it. I believe the times that we're living in now, we're starting to see a separation of the sheep and the goats. The ones that are the goats, the pressure's getting a little too hot for them. And they're starting to separate from the sheep. Because it's going to be bad to be counted with the sheep. It's going to be a negative thing to be a Christian. It's going to be a negative thing to be faithful to church during the times that we're in. So we're starting to see that. So we have an opportunity, and I know I'm kind of doing a recap here, but I'm, Lord willing, going to finish up this morning on this section of it. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll either wrap up whatever's left here, and then we're going to go on to the judgments for the Christian. The judgment for the Christian. And I'm trying to go over all this for a couple reasons. One, we have some folks that maybe haven't been saved very long or maybe haven't went over some of this. And then also, it's a good reminder. We need to be reminded of things that we ought to do as a child of God. Yeah. We get real lackadaisical and we get comfortable in our life. And we forget that there's a job for us to do. We're created unto good works. Not created by works. We're created unto good works. To do something for God. And we'll have an opportunity to rule and reign with Him. And down here on earth, in our mind, we might not think that's a big deal. But the more time you spend in your Bible and the closer you get to Christ, the more you realize it is a big deal. And man, we're going to have an opportunity to rule and reign with Him. And what an opportunity that'll be. I know there's people that have a fear of missing out. Right now, that dog and Nick's out there is barking like crazy because he's afraid that he's missing out on something somewhere. Them kids were out there running around and they left and he's afraid he's missing out. And there's some people that are like that. But when it comes to serving God, they're not afraid of missing out. But one day when they stand before God and we get an opportunity, when those rewards and inheritance is handed out, and we have an opportunity to serve Him and serve with Him in the millennium, there's going to be some people that are going to be disappointed because they're missing out. Why? They had an opportunity and they didn't take advantage of it. And so we went over by the opportunity by serving Christ. And that opportunity of serving Christ is not limited to a ministry. It's not limited to a specific local church ministry. It's by serving Him every day of the week. You've got a job, you get up and you live right and have a good testimony. And the Bible counts that as serving Christ. Amen. In everything you do, the Bible said you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. And not unto men. And so that's everything. Your job, your relationship with your wife, your family, your children. Everything you do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord, not unto men. And in doing that, you're serving the Lord. So that's an opportunity. Then beyond that opportunity to serve Him every day is ministries in the church and things that God will put there for you to be able to serve Him. And so we have the opportunity by serving Him. And not only that, but number two that we went over a couple weeks ago is by suffering for Christ. And up till now, we haven't really had to suffer a whole lot. I know there might be little things here and there, but I believe we're going to see that amplify as time goes on. But by suffering for Christ, and we went over that in detail. And then also, last week we looked at by not denying Christ. And again, that's not necessarily somebody holding a gun to your head saying, hey, you deny Jesus Christ or I'm going to pull the trigger. We're talking about not denying Him in your everyday life. I'm talking about don't neglect to pray over your food. Don't neglect to stand up and be a Christian. Don't be like Peter whenever Jesus was going to be crucified and the lady came to him there who knew him and said, hey, you're one of his. And he started cussing. Amen. Amen. Isn't it a shame to think sometimes Christians that they get around a group of people and they say, all right, don't you go to that church down there? And then they start cussing all of a sudden to try to prove that, hey, I'm with you. I'm not with them. Amen. So you have an opportunity to earn this inheritance, this reward, by not denying Him. And that's in your everyday life. We think of persecution and denying Him, at, you know, burning at the stake, and hey, I'm going to kill your wife and your children if you don't deny Christ. And that day might come. Then it happens in other countries. But here, you can deny Him just as much as they do, the ones that do deny. Just in your everyday walk, you can deny Him. And so we want to be sure not to do that. All right, and now the next one I have here is you can earn a reward by clean living. By clean living. All right, look here in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So before he gets into what the lust of the flesh is, and the things that you can do to sin, to not live a clean life, he tells you how to fix it right from the start. I mean, right from the beginning. He said, if you just walk after the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you say, what Spirit? My Bible tells me that His words are Spirit and life. We get washed by the renewing of His Word, the renewing of our mind through His Word. And so it's very important for the child of God to spend a lot of time in the Bible. I mean, we're constantly fighting against the Lord, and our nature is constantly fighting against Him and wanting to sin. And it's very important we stay close to the Bible, stay faithful to church and preaching, and walk after the Spirit. And then he goes on to tell you, verse number 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. He's going to list them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So we're talking about an inheritance, right? We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about an inheritance. Okay? I don't have it in my notes here, but I want to give you something in comparison here. Somebody in here, Brother Bowling, you might have it in your notes there. Where's the list over in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, where it actually lists that people are adulterers?
6:9.
Yes. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter. Let's look over there real quick. Hold your place in Galatians. I just want to show you something in comparison. I don't have it in my notes, but it just came to me real quick. I want to show you this. Okay, so in comparison to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5, we're dealing with a saved person that is capable of doing some of these sins. And if you don't live a clean life, if you live a sinful life after salvation, then you can lose out on an inheritance and a reward. Okay, let me show you in contrast this same, almost identical list, but watch how it's worded different. And the one over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is dealing with a lost person, somebody that's lost, okay? Now, the wording is almost similar, but just notice a little difference here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, so you say, well, the wording seems similar. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you say, how do I know this list is talking to those that are lost and not saved? Look at the very next verse. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. What Paul is telling them here is you were those things before you got saved. He said, such were some of you. And so, before salvation, when you drank, you were a drunkard. That's who you were. Your flesh and your soul were connected before you got saved. All right? And so, when you did those things, that's who you were. If somebody lied, they were a liar. That's who they were. Okay, and after salvation, when somebody gets saved, we've taught this before, and I think I got it recorded somewhere if anybody ever wants to go back and listen to it, but there's a doctrine called spiritual circumcision. It's a salvation doctrine. And when you get saved, God separates your flesh from your soul. Okay, He separates those two things. It's called spiritual circumcision, and it's done By the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the flesh, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when you got saved, the Holy Spirit used the word of God and He separated your soul from your flesh. And when He did that, He sealed your soul. Your soul is saved. All right? It's soul salvation. He saved your soul and He sealed it, the Bible says, until the day of redemption, when we go to heaven and we get our new body. But that's the part of you that's saved is your soul. So that means there's a part of you that's still lost. And you know what that part is? It's old stinking flesh. Okay? So before salvation, and I know I'm doing this quickly, there was a whole 2 or 3 week lesson on this, But before salvation, if you did something, that's who you were. Because your flesh and your soul were stuck together. So if you drank, you were a drunkard. And that's why this list mentioned those things, as that is what the person is. They are a thief. They're covetous. They're drunkards. They're idolaters. They're adulterers. They're effeminate. All fornicators. That's who they were. And he told them there, some of you were those things. Such were some of you. But praise God, you got saved. And now you're no longer that thing. And people want to say, the Bible says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And that's absolutely true. So you say, well, what if I tell a lie? Well, you just told a lie. You're not a liar.
Amen.
So how does that make sense? Well, you're saved. Amen. Your soul is who you are. I mean, that's who God saved you, and he sealed you. And that's why eternal security is a beautiful, wonderful doctrine. And when you look at spiritual circumcision, I believe that's one of the strongest doctrines for eternal security. God sealed that. And now, no matter what your flesh does, it will not affect your soul. And so now, you know what happened? Your old man told a lie. But you're not a liar. And we see the contrast there in 1 Corinthians 6 versus Galatians chapter 5. Go back and look at that list again. Look at the list one more time with me. All right. Verse number 19. Now, the works of the... Paul is very specific here. And saying the works of the what?
Flesh.
The flesh. Over in the other passage, it was, this is who they were. Before you got saved, that's what you were. And now he said, these are the works of the flesh. All right? These are saved individuals here. And he's talking about earning an inheritance of being able to reign with Christ. All right? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery. You know what he's saying? Your sinful flesh can commit adultery. All right? Your sinful flesh can do that, but that's not who you are. What's that? What's the medical term for somebody that's got two personalities?
Schizophrenia.
We're all schizophrenia.
Bipolar.
I mean, if you're saved, that's what you are. You know, that's how you can go out of church saying, man, I'm going to serve God. Praise the Lord. He's so good to me. And thank God your spirit's all rejuvenated. Then you get in your car and turn on country music and it all goes out the window. And then you got a bad attitude and you're hollering at your wife and you're cussing her out. And you were just at church 5 minutes ago. You say, what happened? You got a split personality. You got a new man and an old man. Paul continually has encouraged us, just like here in this passage, to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk after the Spirit. Why is he continually reminding? Why in Romans over and over again did he talk about the things that I would do, that do I not? Amen. He was talking about the struggle, and he said, you know what my problem is? It's my flesh. And Paul was saved. Y'all believe Paul was saved? Yeah, Paul was saved. And so he constantly talks about that battle through all of his epistles. Why? Because it's a battle that we face every day. But you have an opportunity to live a clean life, and you'll have an opportunity to rule and reign with Christ. Man, what a great opportunity that is.
Are you recording this?
I am.
I really think it'd be good to go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, or 11 and 12. The Bible talks about that surgery, that operation, where your flesh is separated from your soul. Because somebody may listen to this, and you're talking about it, but the Bible actually describes it.
Yep.
And I just think it'd be good for a moment.
Colossians chapter 2. We can go look at it real quick. We go over it again.
Yeah.
Well, I know we spent 2 or 3 weeks on it when we did it.
Right, but somebody may listen to that, and you're saying it, but the Bible actually talks about it.
All these doctrines tie together. As we go through here, Colossians chapter 2, and which verse are we looking at there?
I'll probably start 10 or 11. And
yep. Down to, all right, Colossians chapter 2. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. So it's a spiritual circumcision. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. All right, so this is verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. It actually continues there. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And so here it explains exactly how that took place. It's an operation of God. It's a spiritual operation. It's not made with hands. And without going into detail, everybody in here should know what physical circumcision is. And that was a sign to the Jews that God gave to Abraham that they had to be physically circumcised. And so this circumcision is not one of the flesh, but one of the heart, where God separates the soul from the flesh. And so does anybody have any questions on that? I mean, I know we can cover it. We can continue some of this next week.
Christians have no idea that the day they got saved, an operation took place. You ever heard somebody say, well, I just feel lighter?
Yeah.
They can't explain. That's because your soul was cut loose from your flesh, and it's no longer attached. I mean, I remember when I got saved, I felt like I floated back to the pew. And I couldn't explain this operation. I couldn't explain anything. I just know I felt lighter for the first time in my life. And it's that cutting away. And now, we're still trapped. We're still in prison. We're still in these bars of flesh. We're still here. But I'm no longer a part of it. It doesn't define me like what you're saying. And most Christians don't realize, you know, they'll see somebody commit sin. Like, well, how can they be a Christian? Well, that's just their flesh.
Yep.
It's not who they are. It's just what their flesh has enabled them to do.
And the wonderful thing, at that very moment of salvation, like you said, most people don't ever realize it. When they get saved, all this happened.
Right.
You can't explain it, but you know something happened. And so God forgives you of all those sins. It says putting off of the sins of the flesh. I mean, he takes care of every bit of it. But then can you explain how maybe 2 years later you get off into sin and then all of a sudden you feel kind of heavy again? Because you put the sin back on your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
God relieved you of all that.
Amen.
He forgave you. Now, the law of sowing and reaping, he didn't take away.
Right.
That doesn't mean God's punishing you. Because if you did something before you got saved, a great example is prison. When we go preach in the prison, there's people in there that get saved. And thank God for it. Some people get jailhouse religion. And that means I got saved because maybe the judge will let me out. All right, and some people got truly born again.
Man.
And so they get saved, and that weight is lifted off of them. They're a brand new creature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's a new creature. He feels light. He feels great. But he's still in there for the rest of his life. They're not going to let him out because he got saved.
Right?
Right? But he's different. That burden of sin is no longer on him. He still has to reap what he sowed, even as a lost man. But in God's eyes, he's saved and all that's gone. But as a child of God goes on, and if they're not standing their word like they ought to, or they get backslidden, and then they start sinning, they start feeling that weight again, that heaviness. They're putting it back on them. But now you are no longer those things. That's why Paul's constantly talking about dealing with that flesh. Dealing with the flesh over and over again. Look at Romans 14:10. That's a good segue to the next verse here. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. On judgment day, and we're going to go over the judgment in detail in the next portion of our study here in a few weeks. But on judgment day, we will have to give an account of the things we did while we were in our bodies. While we're in our flesh, those things I just talked. Now listen, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, nothing that you did before you got saved is going to be brought up. Nothing. From the very moment you got saved, you say, I got saved last week. Everything before that, none of that will ever be brought up. That was nailed to the cross of Calvary. When he put off that sins of the flesh, we just read over there in Colossians, all that is under the blood. I mean, it's gone. Right? But from that day forward, you're going to be judged for what you did in your body. All right? That doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. There's a difference, and I'm not going to get to it today because I'm about to run out of time. Next week, I'm going to show you the difference between salvation and inheritance. There's a difference. And so when we look at these passages, people that teach that you can lose your salvation, they use passages like Galatians 5 to teach that you can lose your salvation. And that's not talking about salvation. That's talking about an inheritance. It's talking about reigning with Christ. They're two separate things. But you will be judged for everything that you did while in your flesh after salvation. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Okay. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is for a child of God, those that are saved. If you're not saved, you will not go through the judgment seat of Christ. You'll go to the great white throne judgment. And the only judgment that's going to come down on you is paying for your sins. And but my sins were dealt with on the cross. Amen. Jesus Christ paid for my sins. And so whenever they stand before God over there in Revelation and they're standing on absolutely nothing, the Bible said they're judged for their works. Say, well, I thought we weren't saved by works. Well, no, we're not saved by works. But if you don't accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross, the wages of sin is death. Somebody's going to pay for your sin. Well, I put my faith in Jesus Christ that He paid for my sin. He paid it all. But God committed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid for my sin on the cross of Calvary. But the wages of sin is death. So He took my place. I accept that. I put my faith in Him. That's what saved me. All right? So those that did not do that, they're going to stand at the great white throne judgment, and the books are going to be open. Their name's not in the book because their name was blotted out. They didn't get saved. And they're going to be standing on absolutely nothing. And that God's going to look at their whole life and look at all their works. And the Bible says that all of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. And so He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Right? So if you're not saved, this judgment, you won't be at this judgment. This one is for people that are saved. And it has to do with after salvation. All right, Romans chapter 14. Let's continue here. Verse number 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of who? Himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We're all going to stand before God and give an account of Himself. Now, I know this is kind of merging in with what we're going on Wednesday nights, but I was talking to the ladies and the wives about submitting to their husbands. When they submit to their husband the way they're supposed to, everything in that home, God's going to judge the husband for. He's got to give an account for that. But if she doesn't, then she has to give an account to God for that portion of it. Now, there's other areas in your Christian life that you're going to, everybody's going to give an account of themselves to God. And how you submitted to the authority God gave you, whether it be a pastor, a husband, a job, a work, or you know, boss, or whatever the case might be, and how your relationship was with your family, and dealing with these sins. Now, I'm out of time. I'm going to stop here. We're going to look at a few more verses next week on giving an account of the things you do in your flesh at this judgment. And then I'm going to look at each one of these that are listed here in Galatians chapter 5. So, I don't know why I thought we were going to finish this morning. In a couple more weeks, we'll finish this one. But I enjoy this, and I don't mind the questions. Does anybody have any questions right now? Anybody got any things? All right. Yes, sir?
More of a comment than a question.
Okay.
But where you were talking about the jailhouse religions.
Yes, sir.
And I've been saved, yeah. You know, that was actually tried legally in this country. It was a female. She was on death row, capital punishment. And I think it was in the state of Texas. And her